miss you.
You've got half an hour and you've only got 2 minutes maximum.
Maximum.
Yeah, maximum.
Yeah. So, boys, our limud of Hilchos Lashon Hara every day is discuss Refuah Shleima of Yosef Tov Ben Chailish, have Refuah Shleima, B'Tzot Shor Chayli Yisrael, B'Korev. So we started off with our Chad Gadi yesterday, the Chofetz Chaim going through all the lavin, or not all the lavin, but many of the lavin that could be occurred from the result of one incident. So the one incident we said was that the Rav Rabbi Reuven spoke really, really badly at a chasna, and Shimon was there who heard it, and he told his friend Levi, and Levi is a friend of Reuven's and goes back to Rabbi Reuven and says, I hear you said a really, really bad drosha last night, and that people were cringing and that everybody made a noise, etc., etc. So he says Shimon was over Lo Selech Rochel Ba'amecho because he told Levi about the bad drosha. Levi was over Lo Siso Lov Chet because he listened, he was Mekabel the Lashon Hara. And now Levi goes back to Shimon, to Reuven, and says, I hear that you, what's called, so he's over Lo Siso Shei Mashov. Now, Levi said to Rabbi Reuven, I heard from Shimon that you messed up. Yeah? He says, there, you're now going to create an enmity, you're going to create a discord between Reuven and Shimon. Because Shimon heard the drosha, Reuven made the drosha, and Shimon's going around town telling people who weren't at the chasna. Yeah? So therefore now Rabbi Reuven, is upset with Shimon because he's going around town. So therefore Levi, by telling Rabbi Reuven that he's heard about it from Shimon, he's creating a discord between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven who spoke and Shimon who heard it and has passed it on. Reuven knows that now, so therefore he's upset about it. So that's Lo Selech Rochel Ba'amecho, because there is a consequence. There's a consequence now of Rechilus. And if Shimon told Levi about the bad drosha in front of other people, then you can have again Mal Bipnei Chaver Barabim, embarrassing the rabbi in front of other people. If he embarrassed himself, that's too bad, right? If the speaker comes here now and is welcome to come, and he embarrasses himself in front of the public, that's his problem. But for other people to go around telling, obviously, as a Mal Bipnei Chaver Barabim. So Chofetz Chaim's dealt with five so far, and we've got many more resulting from just this one incident.
Start your day at the Torreway, Northwest London, Thursday, Chof Cheshvan, 21st of November, Rabbi Eli Pick, Shlita, Artificial Intelligence. This week's Torah is sponsored by Torah Shleima of Pesach Ben Perel, former Panina, Veskos HaShvon, HaChalim, HaMelchamo, Sheachsu, Votehem, L'Shalom, B'mheiro.
Rishus, Kol HaKol HaKadosh Hazeh. What used to be science fiction is now reality. With artificial intelligence, otherwise known as AI, you can compose music, you can write poetry, correct medical diagnosis, you can write essays. The children have to do homework. What do? They go on ChatGPT and they write an essay. You can do a drosha. You can actually write a drosha now. You just say to the computer, write me a drosha, 1,000 words, on Parshas Chayei Sara, with the Perish of the Ramban, and the Alshich and the Arach Chaim HaKadosh, and it will produce you a drosha. It's amazing. What computers do, actually my wife calls me a computer, but it's nothing to do with intelligence. If I'm left unattended for 15 minutes, I fall asleep. But nowadays, you go on the computer, and you're asked to tick that you're not a robot. And the question is being asked to you by a robot. But interestingly, my computer can tell even if a shidduch is suitable. I found this when my son got engaged because I was putting money through to my mechutin, and I went onto my mechutin's bank code. I put in my bank the sort code, the bank code, the account code, and his name. And up came flashing on the computer, it's a match. But maybe computers are not quite as clever as the donkey of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyah, who knew whether a piece of food was kosher, whether it was maisel, or whether it was demai. But you never know, maybe we'll get to that stage one day. But the children are not using books anymore. They closed up the children's library in Golders Green, and it's turned into a Chabad house. And many jobs have become redundant. You know, the typists don't exist anymore. They're saying even the accountants are going to lose their jobs because the computer can do it all. This is the situation we've reached, where there's even a danger, they're saying, that artificial intelligence is a danger to humanity. It could cause extinction of humanity by the building of weapons and destabilizing society and all these horror stories that we're creating more and more, and we're beginning to destroy ourselves. It's interesting, because I once heard Rav Lord Jacobovitz say, it says in the Posuk, V'ayachal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi'i melachto asher osah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished his work by Yom HaShavi, on the seventh day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. Why does it say he finished his melacha on the seventh day? The seventh day was already Shabbos. And the answer is because the Shabbos is not just a day of rest. It provides a stop, that the stopping is part of the creation. Because if you create so much more, and people are creating pollution, people are creating nuclear power, so we're creating more and more until we're destroying ourselves. So what does Shabbos do? It puts a stop on the right time to say that the actual stopping is part of the melacha of creation. And that this is how computers are getting out of hand. So, if we're making the typist redundant, we're making the cash till in the supermarket attendants redundant, are we also making our rabbis redundant? After all, if you ask a shayla to a rabbi in artificial intelligence, will you or will you not get the right answer? On the other hand, when they produced 500,000 shaylas or tshuvas on a computer at Bar Ilan, and they put a shayla into it, and then they asked Rav Avadya Yosef to answer such a shayla, he came out with lots and lots more references than the computer actually came out with. But it has happened, the reality has occurred. There is now such a thing as an AI rabbi, or so-called rabbi. And people are invited to use it. The first ever AI rabbi instituted by Chabad. It does say at the beginning that it's best to ask a shayla personally. But why did they have to spend thousands and thousands of pounds of tzedakah money on this project? Obviously, people will use it. People will be lazy and not bothering to go to the Rav. And they're going to ask their shaylas to this AI rabbi. And what do they say on their website? We are committed to spreading the word of Torah and making this technology accessible to as many people as possible. Unlike humans, the AI Rav has the entire Torah downloaded in its brain and scans through thousands of books in seconds. This is truly a miracle from Hashem. Well, is it? Let's just see a few examples of what the AI Rabbi comes up with. So I tested this AI Rabbi to see what knowledge it has, and I asked it just a few simple questions to see what it came up with. So, without boring you with too many, may a Kohen marry a widow? Alright, simple question. May a Kohen marry a widow? Answers the AI Rabbi. A Kohen is prohibited from marrying certain women, including a widow. It's important for a Kohen to be aware of these restrictions. It's not true. A Kohen is allowed to marry a widow. Can't marry a Gerusha. Yeah, but he can marry a widow. The Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow. So, another question about marriage. I asked the AI Rabbi, may an Aguna remarry? Right, and Aguna is an Esh Yesish. It's an unfortunate situation, and we try very hard to do whatever we can to solve it. And Rav Chaim Volozhin went out of his way, he sought every possible way to find a way for an Aguna to remarry. But a woman can only be freed by a get or Misa Sabal. May an Aguna remarry? Answers AI Rabbi, halakhic authorities may find solutions. These may involve various halakhic mechanisms, such as Heta Mea Rabbonim, which must be approached with sensitivity and compassion. Heter Mea Rabbonim does not apply. It cannot be used for women. It's a mechanism with other things. We won't go into that now, but a woman cannot remarry with Heter. Shereinon Esh Yesish La'Alma. We're allowing a woman to remarry who she's still married. Subject of kashrus. So, all right, we know that when you eat meat, it first has to be soaked and salted and then rinsed again. So I asked this AI rabbi, how is liver kashered? Answered the AI rabbi, the liver should be soaked in water, then salted to draw out the remaining blood. After salting it, it is rinsed in cold water. By following these steps, the liver is kashered in accordance with Jewish dietary laws. Totally not true. Liver can only be kashered by roasting. All right, another question. I asked the AI rabbi, when does Shabbos commence? Simple question. Answered the AI rabbi, Shabbat, the Jewish day of rest, begins at sunset on Friday evening. This time is known as candle lighting time to usher in the Shabbat. Well, if a woman lights her Shabbos candles at sunset, then she's Mechalel Shabbos, Mechaleles Shabbos. One has to light well before sunset. Once it's sunset, there's a chashash isoskila. So we're now getting a situation where there's a kashrus problem, there are arayos problems, there's all these problems which come up from using the AI rabbi. An interesting question. You see somebody who you know is Mechalel Shabbos, and this person holds a kashrus license from an established authority for his restaurant or for his catering. So, should I report him? Okay? Asked the AI rabbi, should I report a kashrus license holder who is breaking Shabbos? Answered the AI rabbi, the concept of Masira is informing on another Jew to the authorities, which is forbidden when it can result in harm to the individual. It's important to address the issue in a respectful manner. Well, I'm not promoting the Federation text service, which is, though, done by humans. It's best to do face-to-face. But I text the same question to the Federation text service, and it answered, yes. Should I report a kashrus license holder? Yes. And then I asked the AI rabbi, just one more example, because there are so many, it's unbelievable how many faulty replies come up.
Who fed the information into the AI rabbi?
Well, we'll come to that. It's obviously what you feed into the computer. It's been fed wrongly. But we're going to discuss, even if you feed the computer correctly, there are still problems, halakhically, hashkafically, and so on. But one more question. I asked the AI rabbi, when is Yom HaMiyuchas? Answered the AI rabbi, can you please provide more context? Right, so even if the feed is done correctly, and it is possible with a computer to feed it correctly, but there are still, when it comes to halacha, halakhic decisions, for example, l'chatchila b'dieved, sometimes we say it's preferable on the outset that a certain approach is adopted, but b'dieved, in certain special extenuating circumstances, we go b'dieved. One woman once came to Rav Moshe Feinstein with a chicken and asked whether it was kosher. And he said, no, you can't eat it. And this woman came in very posh clothes and a posh car. And then another woman came with the same shayla, with another chicken, and asked, is it kosher? And he said, yes, you can eat it. And this woman was poorly dressed. So his Talmud asked him, Moshe, you know, how do you explain this? He said, because the rule is hefsad merubba. If you're going to engage in incurring a loss, a substantial loss, then you can be matir, you can be more flexible. But if there's no real major loss involved, so therefore I apply the halacha differently to a rich woman than to a poor woman. And that is what halacha is. Now, a computer can't do that. I remember many years ago, my mother, Zechonu Livracha, used to help out when the mikveh lady who was supervising went on holiday. So for the odd evening, my mother would go and help her out and do the job. And she used to phone up Rabbi Roberts with shailas. And once she asked Rabbi Roberts a shaila, and Rabbi Roberts said, what sort of woman is it to whom this question applies? Is it somebody who looks like they're on the halachic spectrum? Has she been coming wearing jeans or something? Or does it look like a fromheimische lady? Because I don't want to put women off from coming to the mikveh. And I would prefer to be machmir on this issue. But if it's somebody who might be put off from going to mikveh in future, then I'll be more flexible. So that is the way halacha works. It's dynamic. A computer can't do that. And when a Beis Din has to judge on monetary matters, the Torah says, tzedek, tzedek, tiradof. What's pshat tzedek, tzedek, tiradof? It's that you will be looking at what is fair, even if technically you might find halacha will say no, but you might still say yes. And once it happened that Dain Lichtenstein was sitting on his Beis Din, where there was a case between a very rich man and a very poor man, and technically, according to halacha, the rich man was right, and the poor man was wrong. And Dain Lichtenstein said to his Beis Din, we're not going to budge from our seats until we have found a halachic source to do what is fair, under the rule of tzedek, tzedek, tiradof, to make sure that this poor man wins and doesn't have to pay any compensation. But we will find a halachic source for it. We're not bending halacha, but we will apply the rule of tzedek, tzedek, tiradof. Computers can't do this. Indeed, Once Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked a question on the phone, he said, when I asked a Shaila, I need to look in the eyes of the person who is asking me the question in order to give a suitable answer. And once Rav Moshe Feinstein, he wrote something to his grandson, and this is recorded in Shalosh Shuvos Igros Moshe, Yerodei Achelet Gimel, Simon Sadi Aleph. Rav Moshe was very upset that a publication came out summarizing his Teshuvos in English and making it perhaps more accessible to the wider Olam. He said, people will take liberties, it will cause mistakes, there will be wrong comparisons, this is not the way. And when a Rav is asked the Shaila, I remember once I visited Dine Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchok. I once asked him a Shaila, which was a personal letter, and he probed. He asked lots of subsidiary questions before he reached a conclusion. And that is really the way of Psak Halacha. And you can't shorten things so easily. I once heard from Rabbi Cooper Zatzal that why is the Sefer Chai Odom so called? Chai Odom is like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He made the title Chai Odom because he then knew that nobody's going to write a Kitzur Chai Odom. And why was the Mishnah Berurah so called? Because there's no such thing as Halacha Berurah. That it's not a computer which can determine these things. And therefore, we have to approach it with a steady mind. Now, there's something which the psychologists call emotional intelligence. Seichel, common sense. And that sometimes is a criterion used in giving a psak halacha, more so than quoting from the Shulchan Aruch itself. And you have to know, why is a person asking that question? Somebody once came to the Beis Halevi, father of the Biskarov, Joseph Dov Soloveitchik, and the person asked him, can I use milk for the four cups on Seder night? Now, we all know what the answer is to that. And the Beis Halevi, though, he said to himself, why is he asking me that question? The reason why he's asking me that question is because he has not got any money to buy wine. So what did the Beis Halevi do? He didn't answer the question. He said, look, here is wine for your matzahs, here is wine, money for your wine, here is money for your meat, have a good Yom Tov. That's the way he dealt with the Shaila. And there's a biography, a triple biography of the Rabbi Akiva Eger, Chasam Sofer, Ksav Sofer, and the Sefer, Chutz HaMashulash V'Chodosh. And it writes there, Hizaru Mina Kinder, it writes from the Chasam Sofer, be careful, my children, with the Abba Chelke Shulchan Aruch, with the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, but that there is a fifth one as well, and that you need a Siyata Dishmaya to have common sense, that when you answer a Shaila, that you will apply your Seichel, and that is called the fifth Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. And a boy once came to the Brisker Rav, asking for Smicha. So the Brisker Rav said to him, I want you to name to me the five sections of the Shulchan Aruch. So he said, Arachayim, Yerodea, Evan Reza, Choshen Mishpot. No, that's it. The boy said, yeah, that's it. And he wouldn't give him his smicha. One has to understand that there is this additional ingredient of common sense, and that there should be personal contact between a person and the Rav when asking a Shaila. So however correctly the computer has been fed, however much it is correct in its answers, even though we've shown what the pitfalls are, nevertheless, you cannot replace that personal contact. There was once this woman who rang up her Rav on the Dikas Chometz night. So her husband was searching for Chometz, and she said, Rabbi, I don't know what to do. My husband, he can't find the 10 pieces of Chometz which were planted around the house. So what do I do? So the Rav said, well, you have to go and find them. He has to find them. All right, there is a din of Kol Chamira, you can annul it in your mind. But he says, you have to find them. 2 hours later, she rings the rabbi again. He says, he cannot find the pieces of Chometz. So the rabbi says, he has to find them. So she says to him, can I at least give him a clue? Somebody once set himself up as a Hasidic Rebbe, and he wasn't descended from a linear generation of Hasidic Rebbes. And the Shaila came to Reb Moshe Feinstein, is he genuine? You know, you set yourself up as a Rebbe, it's a good parnosa, it's a cash deal, and is it somebody whom we regard and respect as a Rebbe? And Reb Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, and Reb Moshe answered, don't see how he paskens Shailas, see how he behaves with other people. Look to see whether he's pushing in the queue. Look to see whether he is polite and charming with other people. Look to see whether he's got Avas Yisrael. If he fulfills those criteria, then he is a genuine Rebbe. Otherwise, keep away from him. And in fact, there are certain Rabbonim who had great following, who didn't even preach to others, who didn't even talk to others with Musar and Tochochus. Someone called Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. He never ever preached Musa. All he did was set an example, and that his ways were so refined that when people saw him, that in itself was Musa, just to follow the ways of the tzaddik. And he said that the ways of the tzaddik is to rebuke oneself and not other people. He never knocked other people, but he built other people up with praise and with encouragement. So a computer, apart from the fact that it's not human, hasn't got the Siyata Dishmaya. So when a Rav paskens a Shaila, he's getting help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, before one gives a Shir, before one gives a Shaila, one paskens a Shaila, one should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me through this, do it properly. Somebody once came to Rav Knobelowitz, the first Rav of the Hendon Hadass, after he had retired, and asked Rav Knobelowitz a Shaila, a very simple, easy Shaila. And Rav Knobelowitz said, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer your question." So this person said, "But Rabbi, you know, it's such an easy question, surely for somebody like you." He said, "I could answer this question in my sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm not going to give you the answer." "Why not?" He said, "Because since I'm no longer the Rav of this shul, I no longer have Siyata Dishmaya. And without that Siyata Dishmaya, a Rav may not give a Psak Halacha." Amazing. And it's written in the Ramban, in his Perush, in Devarim Yud Zayin, Ki Ruach Hashem al Meshor Se Kodesho, that the Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on those who are there to carry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes and giving a Psak Din. And if that's not there, no good. And now, interestingly, lots of different principles and rules set out in certain editions of the Steichemed, Rav Chezkiyo Medini, and he brings from a sefer of called Tav Chaim from Rav Chaim Korin, Klalei HaPoskim, the various principles which have to be adopted when one is giving a psak halacha. A person who is a rov should daven before giving a psak, and he should say, Yirotzo milfonecho barayet shetoreini baderech yishara. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put me on the right path in answering this question. Shalei kashlu al yodai. That people will not stumble and do averus as a result of whatever I say. V'taras emes yeh b'fi, that the correct Torah is on my mouth. And that is a tefillah, which is brought from the Sefer Chassidim, Tov, Shin Tzayin Techs, to make such a tefillah beforehand. And just to rely on the Shulchan Aruch itself is not enough. The Klalei HaPoskim say, and he brings a Ma'ashor from Soto, that those who rely just on the Shulchan Aruch are not fulfilling their duty, because Einom Yodim Tam Ho'inyan. They do not know the basics, that one has to first, Imlo Yedakduk Utchila B'dvar Mitocha Talmud, that one should first go through Shas, Rishonim, Acharonim, before one comes to the Shulchan Aruch, L'chachila, in order to Paskin Ashaila. But if time is short and one cannot go through all Shas and Rishonim and Acharonim, then at very least one should go through the Beis Yosef Shach and Taz, but not rely on the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch was written for Amei Haaretz. Let's just try to be an Amei Haaretz and know our Shulchan Aruch. Amazing. And then there's the importance of Shimush. In the secular world, they call it continuing professional development. That it's not good enough just to have the smicha and then say, right, and now I can paskin shailos. That there should be continuity with shimush, with other great chachomim, in order to be well-versed in doing practical shailos. And there are lots of subtle differences. In this Klalei HaPoskim, it shows that when the Ramah gives an expression of nagin, or yesh linhog, what does he mean? There's minhag, there's nagin, there's nehegu, yesh linhog, v'nehegu ha'om, as if to say, below haros bezdin, this is what people do. And each one of those expressions in the Ramah means something different. The strongest one being nehegu, that one has to keep what he's saying. But each one of them implies something different, and each one of them affects the psak halacha. No computer could possibly achieve giving a psak halacha when you've got all these different expressions. There is another condition. And that is, when a rov gives a psak din, he has to be besimcha. If a man is depressed, he is not fit to be a rov giving psak din. One has to be besimcha. Tachas ha-shelovat ha-shem besimcha. It's written in the pasuk. Says the klale ha-poskim, im yesh shum nidnud atzvus. If there's the slightest trace of feeling sadness, ein laharer. One shouldn't think about it, or la'ayin b'shum inyan. V'lo lachshav, v'lo latarit shum hero, because there's a danger that one will come to the wrong conclusion. Now, has a computer got simcha? Well, hasn't got. All right, you might get flashing on the screen something about happy Google, but that is not what we're talking about. But if there's the slightest tint of sadness in a rov, he doesn't give a psak halacha.
The sefer doesn't have simcha either. It's the person who's using it that has to be the simcha.
But it's well, using it and who knows how to use it.
The person who's using the computer would be the simcha.
Definitely. Okay. But if you equate the sefer with the computer... Well,
I'm just asking. It's the user that has to be the simcha, not the
source. Yeah, accepted. All right. Okay. But nevertheless, a simple sefer which abridges the halachas is also not enough to give a psak din.
Yeah.
So it's handy and it familiarizes the olam and it's accessible to everybody, but for personal shilas which are exclusive with the circumstances of their own, nothing can replace that personal contact between the person and the rov. Al pi ha-Torah she yerucho, you go according to the law which they teach you. Lo sasum min ha-davar she yagidu l'cho yamin u'smol, you don't go to the right or to the left of what Chazal tell you. So what does it mean, yomin or smol? And Rashi brings down the Chazal. Afilu, even if they tell you that right is left and left is right, you still have to follow what they say. So it might not seem logical to you when a rov gives a psak din, which is different to what seems to be right or what seems to be left. If the rabbonim say right is left and left is right, then we listen to them. Provided, of course, they are Yirei Shemayim and they're not one of these fringe splinter groups who claim to be called Jewish, but they're not. So there's an interesting idea which is brought by the Kuzari Sheni, Sefer Matei Donah, Rav David Nieto. He says there's a minhag on Simchas Torah when we do Hagbah on the Sefer Torah to switch hands, and that we reverse the Sefer Torah to do it differently to the way we usually do it. And he says the reason for this minhag is because on Simchas Torah you've read through the Torah Shebiksav. Now that we've reached the end of the Torah Shebiksav, we have to remember that there is also a Torah Shebal Peh, and that there are takonos of Chazal, and all this has to be taken into account. Just like they say that right may be left, and left may be right, so we switch the hands for the Hagbah with the right hand and the left hand. Talking about the greatness of Chazal and the greatness of our Rabbonim, some people may come to the view saying, yeah, but the Rabbonim of old, yeah, they were very, very clever. But nowadays, well, we live in a Dor Yosom, we don't have the Chazon Ish, we don't have the Chofetz Chaim, so is it really the same? And there's an interesting story brought in certain editions of the Sefer Shevet Musa. Sefer Shevet Musa was written by Rav Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir in Turkey, and it's a classic Musa Sefer, a fascinating Musa Sefer, with 52 chapters, presumably because you're meant to learn one chapter a week over the course of a year. And there's a story recorded there about the famous Rav Simcha Bunim Mipeshischa, who was depressed. He was feeling sad at the fact that the Rabbonim in his generation were not anything like the Rabbonim of previous generations. And he was gloating over it and feeling disappointed that the Rabbonim are not the caliber which he would have liked. And he was pondering over this a little while until suddenly the door of his room opened and a young girl, aged only 2 or 3 years old, walked in the room. And in her hand, there was the Sefer Shevet Musa. And it was open on a particular page. He thought, this is weird. So the girl put it in his hand and she walked out the room and he looked at this Sefer. On the page it was open. It was open on the 11th chapter of the Sefer. And it says in that Sefer, and it's not enough just to have respect for the Chachom of the Talmud, who are so great, like the Malach HaShoreis, Elo Afilu HaChachomim Shabachol Dorodor. Even the Chachomim in every single generation, we still have, in whatever generation we live, we have the Chachomim to lead us, to guide us, and to follow their instructions. That is the Sefer Shevet Musa, Perek Yud Aleph. And he was amazed. He was heartened, he was cheered up. This is beautiful, that we're given this chizuk from the Sefer Shevet Musa, that every single generation we have the sufficient, correct Rabbonim to guide us. But he thought to himself, how did this girl know to come in here with that Sefer on that page? So he made inquiries about this girl, and he approached her father, said, did you send her into my room with this Sefer Shevet Musa? He said, no, I haven't seen the Sefer Shevet Musa for many, many years. He said, then who told her to bring in this Sefer? He said, I don't know. So they asked the young girl. She said, yes, a very elderly looking man with long white beard came up to me and asked me to bring you this Sefer on this particular page. And there was nobody in that village who fitted the description of this elderly man. And they came to the conclusion that this must have been Eliyahu HaNovi. So amazing that it is, but we've got helpful in the Mishnah, in the sixth perek of Perkei Avos, that there are 48 ways of acquiring Torah. And Binas Halev, understanding, Be'ema, Be'ira, Be'anova. So it's true that the Sefer you're learning from doesn't possess these qualities. But a person who is giving a Psak Din has to be Besimcha, which is one of the 48 ways of acquiring, Beshimosh Chachomim, Bedibuk Chaverim, Be'munas Chachomim, Ohov, Oevis Abrios, being loved, loving others. All these are 48 of them. Criteria to just to be acquiring Torah, let alone somebody who gives a Psak Din, let alone somebody who understands the fifth chelek for Shulchan Aruch. And the previous Sadigeir Rebbe said to me, he said, there's really a sixth chelek of Shulchan Aruch. The fifth chelek for Shulchan Aruch is for everybody to have common sense. But the Rav himself has to have a higher degree of common sense. For him, that's a sixth chelek of Shulchan Aruch. But we can be comforted that forever in the future, start the day the Torah way, will never be replaced with computers. Thank you.
How do you know Eliyahu HaNovi had a long white beard? Maybe he was following some sort of girl. Here, Dr. Rabina, he might be in a short switchboard.
That's how she described what she saw.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very interesting. I mean, we might be reversing.